Hallelujah. How many people are excited this morning about hearing about Jesus? Right? You woke up this morning, and before you had your eyes open, the Father was waiting. He's waiting there. Pastor Ray? Actually, I didn't call you pastor. He called you son? He's waiting for your eyes to open. Daughter, eyes to open. He's just so excited. And then we get to church and we sing a bunch of songs, and are they real for us? Are we washed? Are we free? And then we leave here, and then he asks us to do something. Uh-oh. Outside of our comfort zone. 5 years ago, I wouldn't be standing here as a director of Teen Challenge. 5.5 years ago, I was in jail. Crazy. And today, I get to tell people about Jesus. All of us do. And that's my challenge today when the men come to share. Like, we can talk about Teen Challenge. We want to talk about Jesus. We can talk about great facility, great leadership. That's not it. We talk about great buildings and great worship for sure. But Jesus. So that's what we want to focus on today, not Teen Challenge or the guys. I mean, yeah, they look good, but you know what? The Lord's the one that cleaned us up, you know? And you know what? You can put a suit on or a nice dress on, and I really believe that there's this 5 or 6-year-old girl and boy just like up here. Just want someone to love us. Doesn't matter what age you are. Just want to be loved and accepted and needed. You know, not rejected, abandoned, and bruised. Because at the heart, I'm just like this kid that just is weeping for the Father's affection. And somehow I get in the way of it. You know? I get in the way of it. But I know you guys have been dealing with discipleship, and I don't even think that I'd even have to check some of your past messages, but this is probably in it. Matthew 28. And this is Jesus' words. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's a couple things that stand out to me in there when I think about discipleship. And it's about change. And you know that just it takes a village to raise a child, correct? It takes a whole bunch of people. And you know what? Part of the success story of Teen Challenge is churches like this and the family. Part of the success story is you may not always see the fruit of your labor, but believe what God's word says, that he will finish it to completion. We always want to be the harvester. We always want to be, oh yeah, I led so-and-so to Christ. Oh, I did this. And I'm just being honest with you. That's part of it. And you know what? I've only had the opportunity to lead one person to the Lord. And if I never get that chance again, man, have I been blessed. But every single day I get to see people's lives change and transform. And hopefully when I get to heaven, I see all those people that didn't make Teen Challenge, never said yes and amen while they were there, but I had a small part to play in it, and I know that that's enough for me today. So today after the service and throughout the week, I challenge you like just to speak encouragement, speak Jesus into someone's life, because all of us are called to disciple. Right? All of us. Not just the pastors and the elders and the young people. The young people with what goes on today in that bullseye that just wants to tear it apart. And for you to be firm is amazing. For you to serve and to worship. I mean, I could have never done it in high school. You know, if you wanted to meet God, I was it. I would tell people I'm God. And today I tell him about people how great he is. Like, that's incredible. I'm going to call up Ken here, and Ken's going to share a bit. I'm going to pray for Ken. And give Ken a warm round of applause. So, the last time Ken was sharing, the guys were laughing, and I was like, okay, I got to ask. I went and I asked him why they're laughing. He goes, well, you look so short beside him.
Everybody does.
And so it's laughter is good, right? And today we have something to be laughing about and joyous in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll let Ken share. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity like this today. God, I thank you that you have gone before us. You've hemmed us in. You're our rear guard, Lord. And Father, we just pray that we would just rest in the confidence of who you are today. I pray for your servant. I pray that his words would be life-giving, God. I pray that you would use them for your glory, for your purpose. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Well, amen. I don't even know if I can make it through this testimony part right now. During worship, I was buckling under the power of his grace and his love here. And when we came in from the trip from Kelowna, they switched the name. It used to be West. What was it? We're in Lake Country. Okay. Anyways, Lake Country. So immediately when we came to the doors, I had to go to the washroom, but they're ushering us in. We were late, so I didn't get to go to the washroom. So when the pastor came up and started declaring the power of the word and things like that, I was listening, but I was wrestling having to go to the washroom. I seen Sterling leave, and sure enough, he joined me in the washroom, and we were trying to, him and I there, we were trying to rush back to get into this worship and this flow of his love. And this is what I've, over this week, I've just been meditating on my heart on different things. And one of the scriptures that came to my heart, and last night, sometimes I just can't sleep, but it was in Romans 9. And it talks about us believers as vessels of mercy. And all week, it's been impacting my life. That's God, as a vessel, it's just a mere jar. And the mercy is what God fills into that. And just that, the love. So as I think about Teen Challenge and from the time that I've gotten there and rescued from the life that I was in, I surrendered onto God 2 days prior to getting into Teen Challenge. I was a prodigal son for 10 years. Five of them, I began to do drugs later in life. A day prior to surrendering, that was the last day that I touched the drug that I was in. 2 days after, I was in Teen Challenge. And my hunger was to get back. It says in Revelations, it talks about return to your first love. And all the way through the 10 years, I tell you, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And let me tell you, it rained in my heart continuously everywhere I went that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He spoke to me all the way through the dirt that I lived. And he called me back, you know. The one thing that he rained as well is in my ears is that, like, I didn't want to die. I knew that if I died in the dirt that I was living, it wasn't going to be good for where my soul was going to go. So I just praise the Lord today that, again, he was there. He never left me. He never forsook me. That he called me back. That his love is the same as it was when I first knew him. You know, and as I just think, even getting onto the property, everyone, you know, I see Joel's parents there continuously, Wednesdays, they come on Saturdays, they're continuously there. I've been there 6 months, and everyone that says when they come onto the property, they talk about this presence of God, that his love and his grace kind of sits on the property, and it's true. As I've been there the first day, that love's been strong. That the word is living, you know, and it's been an easy walk, let me tell you, because of that. And I understand it's not because of me and the life that I came from that the presence of God is sitting there. Because, like, you know, some of us that come in, we're still living that life. You know, someone else sent us there. I know that presence of God is there because of the prayers of you people. You know, those vessels of mercy that stretch out for each one of us, you know. As I was walking in the 10 years, one of the scriptures that God always talked to me about was the prodigal son. You know, and he warned me about the brother of the prodigal son. There was many times all the way through, before he even did drugs, you know, before really even sin was visible, that he was calling me back. He warned me that that love is going to hinder. And let me tell you, for all through the time, I'm from Ontario, and I went to Bible college there, the Bible college I went to the church trying to come back to the Lord. But let me tell you, the love that I felt coming through this door wasn't remanating. It didn't exist there. There was fingers, you know. That love wasn't there. I tell you, within a year or 2 years of backsliding, I could have been back, I think. I don't want to blame anybody else. It was my decision. But when you walk into a building and people are lined up and they're vessels of mercy, there's nothing that anybody wants more than to get back into the presence of God, you know? This is with a testimony that I have, that you people, I've been saying, I know that the grace of God is here. It's within your hearts. You know, this is the power that Teen Challenge has, is the prayers of you people. And I just want to thank you for it. You know? I just want to thank you. So I just call Anthony back. There's no more words in me. I think I said it all.
When Ken came back to us, he sat in the back row like he was sheepish, you know, like his head down. And I'm so proud of you. Proud of you. Yeah. When Joel, he's not here. He's leading worship at a church in Kelowna. I thought about bringing a big poster and just poking it right there. But we decided against that, as you can see. And he is. He's leading a newer church in worship today. That's part of your discipleship. Discipling Danielsons, those who walk alongside them. And I encourage anyone else, any other family members, like, you don't even need to give me a sign of hands how many people are affected by drugs and alcohol, might have left the Lord or been hurt or numerous things. But there's hope today. Because, you know, the Bible says that he has more thoughts for us than all the sand on the seashore. Like, if that's happening, I just need to get out of the way because God's got it under control. You know, we got to pray. Every single one of us were prayed into Teen Challenge. I'll tell you, when I showed up the property at Teen Challenge, I'd been missing in California for 10 days on business, and I did not want to be at Teen Challenge. Like, I was shaky and weary, and I was like, and then I got there, and I was like, just like what Ken said. I walked on the property in Chilliwack, and I just started weeping at the presence of the Lord. And that's here today. That is here today. Because you're hungry. And surely I am with you always to the very end. It's not like just today and tomorrow. It's always. And always is a good thing for Anthony because I come with doubt. Lots of good stuff happened at Teen Challenge. You can see we've got, we're full. We got 22 guys. At this time last year, I couldn't have said that. Yeah, that's incredible. That men want to chase after the Lord with reckless abandonment, because Teen Challenge isn't easy. Like, it's sometimes downright tough. This morning, you know, no reason why we're late or not, but we got stuff going on, right? And people's lives are being changed and transformed and impacted. And you're part of that success story. I'm going to call up Alex, and Alex is going to come up, and he's going to talk about a day in the life of Teen Challenge. Come on up, Alex. Give him another round of applause. He was a little hesitant to... Woo! I had the privilege to go out on a pass with Alex. So the guys get a pass. And who does he choose to go out with? He chooses to go out with me. And I was honored that one of my students would think that, you know, we could have a good time together. And it was like, well, that's, you know, that stuffy guy who sometimes sits in his office, you know. But isn't that amazing? Relationship. Discipleship. And I learned something from him. And we had fun, you know. And we got together and we talked and we asked questions. And that's what discipleship is. It's about getting together. You know, is that Jesus, right? Can I talk to him? Because I haven't heard from him recently. I'm going to pray for Alex, and Alex is just going to give you a rundown on what a day in the life of Teen Challenge is. It can be interesting. So, Father, thank you for this family. Thank you for our friends, God. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. I just pray it upon your servant Alex today, God. There wouldn't be any nerves. Just be shalom. Shalom upon him, Father, that your glory would reign, Lord. In the precious name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. So, Teen Challenge. It's quite the culture shock for most of us when we get here. It's like jumping into a pool of really cold water or something like that. And, you know, we surrender a lot of our personal rights when we get there at first. We only get to have one cup of coffee a day, if we're behaving. So we have a very structured program there, and it's what we need, really, because the lifestyles we come from, well, there's no structure, so it's how our lives fall apart. You know, God is good. He does give second chances, and he makes us new. So we get up every morning about, you know, 5 o'clock on work detail days, 7 o'clock on class days, and on work detail days, we just do whatever. We do construction work off-site. We usually split wood on our own facility. It's a lot of fun, actually. You just get to sit there and split wood and talk to God all day. But we work under the Lord, and, you know, it's just serving. It's service. It's giving back, and you might get a little muscular in the process. It's good. And on class days, we just study the Bible all day. We have Bible studies. We just kind of relate what we learn in the Bible to what we've been doing in our lives and how we can change, you know, what we're doing. It's just a lot of good things. You know, we have scheduled shower times. Some people get to shower in the morning. Some people don't. I'm fortunate. I've been there for 5 months now, so... I also get a bottom bunk. There is a top bunk and a bottom bunk, you know. And there's a discipline program. So if you're breaking the rules, then every once a week, they call you, Anthony actually, calls you into his office and he tells you how you've been doing based on behavior reports written by the staff. And, you know, if you're doing good, you get a merit, you get a second cup of coffee in the morning. Or if you're bad, you don't get a coffee. It's your decision, really. And so... You know, at the end of the day, we're just a bunch of guys, like, living together, just trying to surrender, like, daily to, you know, to God working in our lives and give him the capacity. And if we're not doing that, then we're not really doing the program very well, and we're not really treating ourselves to the experience. So, you know, lots of good things happening at Teen Challenge. I recommend it. And I love all you guys, and all you guys, too, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I have today. Thanks, Ethan.
When Alex talks about the wood pile, you didn't like it at first.
I wanted to leave right away.
Yeah, he'd go missing. So we'd like, you got to get water, do this. And it's encouraging to see how someone thought process, their behavior, their thinking, everything changes as you spend more time with the Lord. Not spend more time at Teen Challenge, but spend more time with the Lord. And that's where the baptizing happens and the change of mind and your belief system. And then the Lord starts doing something with you. And this here is a man who's going to do something powerful for the kingdom. I love you, man. How many people have family members or loved ones, you know, maybe show hands or not, that you know if they just stuck it with the Lord, something would change? That's what my dad says to me all the time. Just stick with it, Anthony. Something's going to change. Something's going to break. Now, when I was down there in worship, and like Ken was saying, I was just, how many people know that he's enough? No, really, how many people know that he's enough? There you go. If he's enough, why aren't I giving more than enough? We ask a lot of the guys at Teen Challenge because we, you know, our short walk as leaders or we believe that there is something at the end of the road. End of the graduation. Not the beginning and end all, but there's something. The Lord has something for each and every one of you this week, whatever you have to go through. I always use this analogy at Teen Challenge. It's like there's on the mountaintops, there's nice fancy homes, right? But in the valley is the fruit. The fruit's in the valley. But sometimes when we want the mountaintop experience, we got to be in the valley to get the mountaintop experience. And sometimes at Teen Challenge, the mountaintop experience doesn't happen very often, but it's a good process. And I call up Scott. Scott's going to share. And every single guy has a special spot in my heart. And I remember driving Scott up to the Okanagan. And what a privilege it is to be part of your life. Lord, we stand in awe of you today, God. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, God, you are everything. You're more than enough, Lord. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Change hearts, transform, God, that we would leave here changed, God, not for our own good, but for your glory. Father, you'd use your servant Scott today, Lord, to impact people's lives, Lord. Father, we honor you today with this man, all the gifts and talents, everything you've instilled in him, God. And Father, that you would have your way in this place. Yes, Lord, it scares me to think that you would have your way, God. But your ways are higher, more loftier than ours, God. God, we need that today. We need that today. I pray your blessing and anointing upon your servant Scott in Jesus' name. Amen.
First, thank you, Jesus, for this divine appointment. All the glory be to you, and I pray that you just come upon me and let your word be spoken. So, Kenny, be your tough act to follow. I love you. And, you know, God spoke to me this morning, 4:30 in the morning, and I didn't know what he was talking about because I'm not always obedient. But he said, I want to use you today. And then I was talking with another friend of mine who's graduating soon. We were talking about testimony and stuff. And I love doing this, but I know that I need to be patient and wait when it's my turn. And when I get up here, I'm apt. Like, and I'll explain a little more in a bit. But I want to use this opportunity to encourage my own guys, too. My own guys. Okay, so first, my testimony is that I'm here. I'm free. I'm not locked up. And I'm alive. So I got to pace around. Some people, it's distracting, but I got so much emotion that this is how I got to burn it off. I get jacked. And the Holy Spirit's definitely rolling in this place. I love this. Like, so, first I want to just touch, I don't want to spend too long, I want to touch on what I was saved from. And then I want to tell about a quick story in here. So, I grew up on a large farm in southern Saskatchewan. I had two brothers, and you know, since I was 8 or 9, I seen a young man over there. He's not there now, but he's wearing this blue plaid shirt. I'm guessing he's like 9 or so. And that's when I started running farm equipment. And, you know, my dad was a businessman, and we had like a pile of cattle and land. And, you know, we were raised to be young men, not young boys. Even though I didn't go without, I played every sport there was. I had dirt bikes and rifles and you name it, but I was raised, you know, in a house of lawlessness. And, you know, my mom had no authority in the place, and I learned that from the generation before. My grandpa was on the farm a lot. So, you know, we fought like cats and dogs, and there was no mediator. It was, you know, I could feel the spiritual pull as we were doing wrong, that's what was a mediator. You know, God, even though we weren't living in it, that's what stopped us from taking each other out. And and I mean that. Like, I stabbed my older brother with a pair of scissors when I was 14, and that's just one of the stories. But there was everything. Me and my kid brother shot at each other, and just lawlessness. And so that was a natural progression. When I left the farm at 17, I went to the oil field. And, you know, by the time I was 23, I was drilling on a big rig and running with the bikers. And I'm not going to stay in that mode for too long, but that's what I've been saved from. So I asked the Spirit to give me the words, and I get all over the map. I could go on. If you guys don't yank me, I'll talk for 2 hours. But he helped me round up some thoughts. I wanted to talk about this fight that we have. I've been fighting since I was that young man's age. I look, you know, grown men in the eye. And when I look back on the pictures and when I see young men, I think, how could it have been like that? But I know that it was. And so I've been fighting my whole life. And I love to fight. I love to bounce around and mix it up. Only the Lord's called me to mix it up for His kingdom now. And I want to encourage these guys that, you know, we've all been called to fight this fight. And so I want to first, there's 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I know in my violent world, it started with a thought. And once you cross certain boundaries, they're not so hard to cross anymore. And then you wake up one day wondering, you know, how you got to this place. And I recognize now that the Lord had His hand on me in every single moment that I'm at Teen Challenge. There's a young guy, Ashton, when he showed up. I had a little cry at the table because he's 19 and I'm 38. And I told him I spent as long as he is old in what we've all been rescued from. And so I know God's had His hand on my life. For 19 years I rolled around. And all my friends are, or the guys I hung around with, they're either doing life, they're dead, or they're missing. There's not many of me around. And so So I wanna finish with this. Yeah, the story of David and Goliath, and to tie that in. In all the fights I've been in, the only thing that was hard to overcome was a desperate man. You can't compete with it. And I know you guys know, not every church has what you guys have, but the Lord is so desperate for us to come to him, for us to ask him, and he's just waiting. Kenny, the love and the grace that we've been shown, I want to encourage you with this David and Goliath. I think we all have Goliaths in our life, and spiritually, we need to go to war. So David said to Saul, your servant, let's see, Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. Okay, so that's provocative. These things that are trying to take us out, all of us. I've heard this lots. What are you addicted to? I leave that behind because what I want to, you know, some people it's alcohol, some people it's pornography, whatever. My story that I want to share with people is, it started before. The liquor and the cigarettes and all that. I like being violent when I was a young boy. And then came everything else. Break and enters when I was 13. And, you know, my mom was borrowing packs of smoke from me and hiding it from my dad. And I mean, how many guys in here tried their old man when they're 16? Isn't that just it's almost like a rite of passage. That's what I thought. I thought the way I was raised was normal. And I was constantly gauging it against everybody else's story to find out what it was like. And then I found out that normal's over there. But, okay. Then David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And I just want to leave you with that whatever is the Goliath in your life, it's nothing. It's nothing unless you give it power. And just glory be to God that when we go to him, in our weakness, he is made strong. And that's what I want to leave you with, that we all have the power to slay these giants in our life. And all these guys, I love doing this. I feel like a general up here, you know, and I just want to encourage all you guys. We all struggle with the same thing, right? There's no program with just me in it. So I want to say that in the valleys, like glory to God when I'm butting heads with Mason, when we want to punch each other in the mouth for a dessert or something, that happens. Like not, that doesn't happen because of God. But like if any of us were in the world, it's on with all these guys. And that doesn't happen. So I just want to encourage all you guys, while I have the floor. Thanks.
It's just a big puppy dog. I'm going to have one more gentleman come up and share, and then I turn over to Pastor Ray. Without relationship, there's no discipleship. Without getting to know people and knowing their sensitives and how they were brought up, anything like that, it just doesn't happen. It's not a program. It's not great food, and I could go on and on. You know that. So today, tomorrow, and from whenever, and you think about the guys at Teen Challenge, pray for us. Pray that they're staying. Pray for perseverance. Pray that, you know, they stick it out. On February the 7th, we have 3 graduates. Hallelujah. Sean Bailey, Sean Stewart, and Joel Danielson. Evangel Church, 7 p.m. I'm going to call up Josh and pray for Josh, and then Josh is going to be quick. And he's looking sharp today. Look at this. I always have moments that really resonate in my mind about maybe the turning point for myself of if this guy's going to stay or if he's serious. Sometimes I'm wrong. I hope I'm always wrong, because the Lord's in charge of miracles, not Anthony. And I've said this before. Josh was at the woodpile, of course, and the Lord is at the woodpile, men. Just in case you're looking for, if you ever come to me and you wonder where the Lord is, I'm going to send you to the woodpile. I know some of us, our dad sent us out to the woodshed, but that's different. Josh was at the woodpile, and just me and him sitting in the back of a truck, and he was more concerned about his family than he was about him. And I knew that there was a change. Not that a program could do, not the leadership or nothing, but the presence, the thick, unmatchless presence that's in this place can do. That's it. And he's had some battles of late. And we all have. But you know what he did? He talked to wise counsel. He talked to people who were discipling him. And then he listened to the Lord and made a decision. And that was encouraging. I'm going to pray for Josh and then Pastor Ray. Father, we just thank you for such an amazing God. Without you, none of this happens. Without the cross, we don't get to meet with you. Without the blood, Lord, it's all because of you. And we honor you today with that. Father, I bring every weight, every hindrance, every sickness, every question, every doubt before your throne today, God. And you say you're enough. So I ask, Lord, that you would show up with power and authority we've already read about, God. Your power and authority that the God of heavens gave to you, Jesus. And we honor you with everything we have, because it's yours. Be with your servant, Josh, today, God. And may we just be blown away by your unmatchless presence. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Glory to God, man. My name is Joshua Willis, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Yeah, man, powerful, powerful morning this morning. So I'll give you my story. I'm 26 years old. I'm from Regina, Saskatchewan. I grew up fatherless. My father took off right at birth, and it was me and my mom, and my grandma kind of filled that father role. She was just, we were best friends, and we, to this day, we're still best friends, but through like my elementary school days, my mom bounced around. She was going through something. She was a young mother, so grade 1 to grade 8, I was in a different school. So it was like every year, it was kind of like I had to be a new Josh, putting on a new facade, a new type of personality to try to fit in with these new people that I'm surrounded with. And that eventually caught up to me when my mom settled down and we ended up in high school. And all these fake personalities I had, or just these things I developed to try to, you know, fit in all these spots, caught up to me. And when high school rolled around and I was down in one spot, people started, you know, I started becoming a liar. I started becoming fake. I couldn't be reliable. I didn't know how to be reliable. I didn't know what a real friend was. And when all this happened, I decided to, I turned to booze, because booze came, it came around. I started playing hockey around then, so it just really kind of gave me a false sense of pride, a false sense of who I was, and made me feel comfortable in my environment. I started drinking, going to school, and it just became, it just consumed my life. And eventually, I ended up dropping out of school, and then I, too, joined into the oil and gas industry. And from the oil and gas industry, it just, the pride and the drinking just it just consumed me. You make a lot of money, and I was a young guy, and it just took over my world. I ended up getting into cocaine, and that turned into crack cocaine, and then into intravenously using cocaine. And it just wrapped me. I just left my family. I would be up north working, and I wouldn't come home. Or if I did come home, I'd promise that I'd come home, but I'd be going off somewhere else. I'd take off for a hotel for a week, then go back to work. And I was just, and I had no, God was not in my life at this time. I grew up thinking that if you're good, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. That was my only concept of God. I did not even know anything about him. And when, through trial after trial, I tried 14-day places, 28-day programs. And I just kept falling on my face because this is still me trying to do this on my own. And finally, I was just defeated on last year, January. I overdosed. And it just was a tough time for me that time. I was contemplating suicide. I got thrown into prison. While I'm in prison, my father that I haven't met, I mean, I think he stopped by a couple times when I was 10 or whatsoever, but I get thrown into prison and I'm on the third tier. There's tiers in prison. I'm on the third tier, and as soon as I unpack my stuff, the guard calls me up from the third tier and he says, "Willis, just pack your stuff back up. You're moving down with your father." So right there, I'm in jail with my father, and the Lord had some kind of divine appointment for us to meet right then and there. And so I'm stuck in a little 6x9 cell with him for 3 months, and we got to know each other. And looking back, yeah, it's good. And looking back now, I still didn't have Jesus in my life, but looking back now, that was God. You know, he put him there because I need a father in my life. I need a male influence, right? And I was able to forgive him and accept the fact that, you know, he made a mistake, and it's time to move forward through Teen Challenge. But after I was in 3 months in jail, I was, you know, I came to the point where everybody that's older than you tells you you're going to be if you keep going down that path. So it's like I was promised myself again. I was like, "Hey, and this time you're in jail, you're done. No more drinking, no more nothing, Josh. You got to be done." And the first night I get released, I call my cousin to let him know what's up, and they're all at the pub. So I got invited out there, and I was off again. Failed on my own, and then I just came home defeated, and I just said, "Mom, I was like, I need help, but I don't. I've done it all. Like, what can I? I don't even know what to do. I just felt like giving right up." And you know, she got a hold of Teen Challenge. It was a year-long program. I didn't know the Lord was involved with it. I just thought it was a year-long program. So I was thinking somewhere with a sufficient amount of time for me to just kick the drugs. And boom, the flight, I left Regina. And as soon as I landed in Kelowna, all the guys picked me up. There was like 6 guys in the airport. And as soon as I pulled on the property, I just felt the presence of the Lord. And it was just thick. And I walk in, and it's I walked into the chapel, and you got Joel. Joel was leading worship, and like 15 other guys praising God. And just that presence just fell, and I just started weeping because I knew that I'm here for a reason. You know, I've been called here, and it's just something bigger than me that's here, and it's just amazing. And on this journey, it's been a lot of ups and downs for me. There's been a lot of trials. My grandmother that I'm best friends with, she died to cancer September 15th. But through God's grace, through God's mercy, she got to see me clean and sober. I got to call her in my second month, say the prayer for her to accept Jesus into her life before she died. Yeah, yeah. You know, I look at like God's timing out of all the times for her to get this sick, and it was so progressive that for her to get this sick is the time that, you know, I get brought to the Lord and I can say this prayer with her. She can see me healthy and I got to fly back home and be by her bedside, you know, and it was just, it was an experience. And, you know, there's ups and downs in Teen Challenge, but, through God's grace, I'm in my 11th month now. It's been a couple times I've thought of leaving would be the better option, but that's not right. And God's called me here to finish this. And yeah, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be sober. And Ken and Scott, they're awesome. And it's just awesome. Thank you, guys. That's it.
Very good. You guys, you're going to have to join these three that are standing up. Can you all come? We want to pray for you. Is that okay, Anthony? Good. Okay, elders, can you come up and pray? And while we're going to pray, Elisha and the worship team, can you come up, please? So, yeah, you Teen Challenge guys, you're going to have to kind of get pretty tight together, okay, because we want to gather around you. And there are much less of us than you. So, yeah, okay. Just as we're praying for them, we want to take up as well an offering for Teen Challenge. We want to support their work. There's the basket. Ooh, yeah, okay. The basket over here. So once we've prayed for them, we'll go into 10,000 reasons for thanking him. But elders, let's pray for these guys, and fellowship, let's stretch our hands out. Okay, Father, I do thank you that these young men and us, we're vessels of mercy, that you have displayed your mercy in them and in us. We're brothers and sisters together. And you are Father, because you've saved us. And Lord, you filled us with your mercy, not just that we would be a display of your glory for you to admire, but Lord, you've made us to be ministers of reconciliation, to not just receive your mercy, but to give out your mercy. Lord, to give testimony of how gracious you are. Lord, that your kingdom would be, as you said, just like a tiny piece of yeast mixed into the dough, that as the dough is kneaded, it affects the whole bunch of that dough. And you increase your government and peace in this earth as we touch one another and as we touch the communities around us. We touch our families. We touch the generations that went before. We touch the generations that come after. Lord, increase the display of your glory and the fruit of your victory, Lord Jesus, that we're the triumphs of your grace. So be glorified and bless this community and bless your work amongst them and increase. Lord, we ask that you do this by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Just one more thing.
Anthony, I felt the Lord just gave me something for you specifically. And I'd like you just to stand and turn around and look. This is a field. You saw it first as a field of dirt. But as you looked at the dirt, you saw the treasure. and you were willing to sell what you had to mine the treasure. And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you, even as you have sold what you have, given over everything to buy the field because you want to possess the treasure. So the Lord is saying, I have a treasure. I have a treasure. A crown of righteousness. And I believe he says, my joy will be to place that crown upon you. Just as you have laid down your life to possess the treasure, so my son laid down his life to possess this treasure. And with great joy anticipates putting that crown of righteousness upon your head. And so, Father, I ask in some way that in the difficult times, when the dirt seems to overwhelm, that you would continue to give Anthony a picture of that treasure and continue to give him a picture of that crown that you delight and desire to give him. And I ask you, Father, for that in Jesus' name, that as his master, he will see what is ahead and endure the present to possess the future. And I ask for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yep.
Oh, my soul.
So the basket is here. If we have an offering to give, it's up here. You can put it in later as well. But let's stand and sing together and celebrate his goodness.
Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Sing that again.
Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before.